Morning, everyone. So we read in John 2, verse 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciple had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Amen.
Thank you, Kenzo. So the story of Jesus, that's what we're thinking about together. Last week we heard Jesus saying to Philip, "Follow me, follow me." And we thought about that. How is Jesus calling me to follow Jesus in 2022? How is Jesus calling me into this story, the story of Jesus? Jesus said to Nathanael last week, we read this, "You will see greater things than this." And here, what we've just heard Kenzo reading, this is the beginning of those greater things. The end of the passage we just read, John 2, verse 11, it's on page 1064 of the Church Bible if you want to follow. It says, "This was the first of the signs through which Jesus revealed his glory." So a sign points us to something. It's there to show us something else. So what does this sign, this turning the water into wine, show us about Jesus? And there's one word that I think sums up really well what we discover in this story. We'll put it onto the screen. The word is grace. Grace. Now, grace is a word that we perhaps talk about quite a bit. We're going to sing about it at the end of the service today. But what does it actually mean? If somebody was to ask you, what does grace mean? I wonder, what would you say? Well, in John's Gospel, I found out this week, there are only four times that grace, that this word is used, and they're all in the first 18 verses, right at the beginning of John's Gospel. Because after that, John, rather than talk about grace, is going to show us what grace looks like. To say, this is what grace looks like, sounds like, tastes like. And this story we've just heard read today is a brilliant example of that. So what does grace look like from the story we've just read? Well, grace looks like Jesus showing up at an ordinary wedding. An ordinary wedding. There was nothing special about this wedding here in Cana in Galilee. Like all weddings at that time, it would go on for perhaps 7 days and everybody in the area would be invited to come. But we don't even know the names of the people involved. It doesn't seem to be a particularly important wedding. The only thing that sets this wedding apart from the others is that at this wedding, the wine ran out. The wine ran out. Now, we don't know why that was. It may be that the people, the bridegroom, the bride, just didn't have enough money to buy enough wine. It could be that they were bad planners. They hadn't thought of it. They hadn't got enough supplies in. It could be that they had more people coming than they were expecting. We don't know why. But for whatever reason, to run out of wine at a wedding in this culture was a really, really bad mistake to make. It would bring shame on your family. And those who were there at the wedding, honored guests, would feel you've completely rejected them. You've not treated them properly. And it's this situation that Jesus steps into in this story. An ordinary place, an ordinary occasion shaped by the ordinary mistakes that we make. And I'm sure we can all recognize in this story some of the mistakes we've made in the past, where we've not perhaps planned or arranged or done things properly. Well, grace is Jesus showing up even where mistakes have been made. Jesus stepping into the messy reality of our lives. A few weeks ago we talked about this. God moving in to the neighborhood. Even the bits that we might prefer he didn't move into. Grace is Jesus showing up at this ordinary wedding. And so this story is a story that makes a difference in our ordinary lives. When we go to work or home or school or to the shops. And maybe we need this reminder this morning that Jesus showed up at the ordinary places in the ordinary wedding. And I wonder whether this morning some of us here may need to hear that, that grace shows us God is not far removed from our ordinary experiences, but grace shows us that God is stepping in here with us. And we've had this on the screen as well behind me. Jesus is also working through ordinary people. This is grace in action. Jesus' mother comes to Jesus and tells him they have no more wine. And I wonder whether, as Kenzo was reading that, you felt it's a bit of an odd reply, isn't it, that Jesus makes? Woman, why do you involve me? It doesn't sound very polite or respectful, does it? The footnote at the bottom there in the NIV Church Bible says the word used doesn't denote disrespect, but at the very least, it's quite formal, isn't it, as a way to speak to your own family member. Why do you involve me? My hour has not yet come. And if we read on in John's Gospel, we'll see that when Jesus talks about the hour, he means the time where he will be arrested, tried, crucified, and then resurrected. That's the hour. And we wonder, well, perhaps Jesus is not going to do anything to help in this situation then. Perhaps he's going to step back. Well, that's not how Mary heard what he said, is it? That's not Mary's understanding. Instead, Mary turns to the servants and says to them, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. I wonder, how did Mary know to turn to the servants rather than the bridegroom and the master of the banquet? Did she have this already in her mind, that Jesus chooses to work through the ordinary people, that Jesus delights to work through the ordinary people, not bursting into the main banqueting hall and producing the wine in a sort of flash of thunder. No, Jesus chooses instead to say to the servants, go and fill up these jars with water and then take some from there and go and serve it to the master of the banquet. And when that happens, the master of the banquet is amazed at what's happened. And we read this. He did not realize where it had come from. Verse 9. Though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And I love that. Isn't that just amazing? That the people at the top, the people in power, those who had the authority, didn't know what was happening. It was those at the bottom. It was the servants, the nobodies, the ones who were left out and ignored and pushed to one side. They're the ones that Jesus called into his saving of this situation. Grace looks like Jesus working through ordinary people. And perhaps we need that reminder this morning. Perhaps we feel, well, I'm a nobody. I'm not important. I'm not educated or experienced. And how could Jesus work through me? Well, Jesus chooses again and again to work through ordinary people like you, like me. Whatever our background, our title, our education, our status, Jesus values people for who they are, not for what they do. Grace looks like Jesus working through ordinary people. And then finally, grace looks like Jesus providing extraordinary help. It really is an incredible story, isn't it? A story of grace that's outrageous and overflowing and abundant. 6 stone water jars, each one holding 80 to 120 liters. Put together, that would be perhaps 1,000 bottles of wine that Jesus is bringing to this party. And that was more than a get out of jail free card for this family. That was a transformation of the experience for them from shame and trouble to joy and celebration. And not just loads, but of the best quality. When they taste it, they say, wow, this is amazing. This is the best wine we've ever tasted. This is what grace looks like. This is the story of Jesus, the story of grace. And perhaps we need that reminder today. That if this is the story of grace, Jesus providing extraordinary help, generous, overflowing, outrageous, are we showing that kind of grace in our lives? If we were to go and ask our work colleagues or our family members or our neighbors, is that what they would say of us as followers of Jesus, if we are followers of Jesus? The kind of grace that is present for people in their, even in their mistakes, the kind of grace that values people as people, not for what they do, could do for us or do for somebody else. Grace that is abundantly generous with those around us. And perhaps this morning, we need the reminder that grace looks like Jesus providing extraordinary help because that is what we feel we need today. Perhaps we're here this morning or connecting on the YouTube connection today, and we know that life is hard right now. We know that we need Jesus to step in and provide that extraordinary help, and nothing else will do. And if that is you this morning, let me just reread verse 10. Because when the master of the banquet tastes the wine, he calls the bridegroom and he says to him, "Everyone brings the choice wine first and then the cheap wine later." It is a cheap trick, isn't it, to try and save on money. "But you have saved the best till now." You saved the best till now. There's a glorious promise in this story that the best is yet to come, that there is more for you and for me. This wedding story, it points ahead to another day that will come that prophets in the Old Testament told of, where God will welcome his people, where there will be no more mourning or crying or pain. When all of those mistakes and mess-ups that we've made will be cleared away forever. This wedding story points us ahead to more to come. The best is yet to come. I don't know what that means for you this morning, whether you are looking for Jesus to help in a particular place or way. I would be pleased to pray with you, if that would be helpful after the service. Others here would be glad to pray with you too. But grace is not something we can explain, we can understand, we can put on a screen with 3 points and then we're done. No, grace is something to be experienced, to be tasted. As those at this wedding party were able to taste the grace that Jesus poured on that party, so today we have an invitation to experience grace. And the invitation is in this meal that we're going to share together in just a moment. And before we eat and drink and experience that grace, we're going to sing and invite our musicians to come and prepare, because this is a wonderful song. We sang it a couple of times in November. "Yet not I, but through Christ in me." A song that points us to the wonder of the grace that we are about to experience as we receive the invitation of Jesus. So if you're able to stand, please do.